flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't.
Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell in with you this morning. Beautiful Saturday. The sun's out. Supposed to heat up close to 60. I've got my golfing clothes on. I got the clubs in the truck. Now I've just got to talk myself into going. That's the only thing. I've got to get through that this morning and just kind of talk myself into getting out there and seeing what's going to hurt, what potentially could tear or possibly fall off. So I think I'll get through it. I think I can talk myself into it. But what a beautiful Saturday. You need to enjoy today, because tonight some rain's moving in. It's supposed to rain all day Sunday, and then maybe some snow or some ice coming in next week. So Anyway, what a beautiful Saturday morning. Appreciate you tuning in to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'll be in here with Coach Kirk and Coach Geyer here in just a few minutes. We'll talk some Hardin County basketball as the Tigers were at home versus Lexington Tuesday night. We started district play, and then last night in Chester County, and four really good games, especially on the men's side, and the ladies' game at home versus Lexington. And then the ladies last night, for at least a half anyway, was a very exciting basketball game. If you're just a pure just basketball fan, they were just fun to watch. If you had a rooting interest for one or the other, or didn't have a rooting interest at all and just wanted to go out and watch. So some exciting basketball, and I'm excited about this district because what it tells me, the two games I've seen, everybody's pretty even. There's not anybody that seems to stand out. Now, that may change next week, two more teams, but we'll see. Also, coming up a little bit later on, we'll talk about some good news for one of Savannah's own. We'll be playing in a game tonight at, I think, around 5 p.m. We'll let you know who that is. And also, a former coach, former player, getting a really big opportunity. I'll tell you who that is and where he's going. That's coming up here in just a bit as well. Later on at 5 p.m., Tennessee and Texas, the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That should be an outstanding game tonight in Knoxville. You can hear it right here on 93.5 FM. So let's take a time out. When we come back, Coach Kirk will step in. We'll talk some Lady Tiger basketball. This is Sports Talk, 93.5 FM, WKWX, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app. Back after this. Well, it'd help if I turn on the microphone. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve, and with you this morning, talking some Tiger and Lady Tiger basketball. Let's bring in Coach Kirk. Coach, welcome in. Good drive in from Mississippi, I guess.
It was. If my wife would leave me some gas in the car.
Oh, yeah. Is that a problem?
That's a problem.
Yeah, there's something about that. You'll learn as you go through this marriage thing that there's not a whole lot of gas in the vehicle ever when you need it. So but that's on you. Remember, it's on you.
Everything's on me.
Yeah, that's on you. You got to make sure there's gas in the car, because she may need to go somewhere.
That's right.
But yeah, it's man, what a beautiful day today, and what's some really good basketball this week. We'll go back to Tuesday night, Lexington game, first district game. Kind of how did you prepare your team to get ready for district play? Because a lot of these girls are, you know, hadn't played in a district contest before, and then when you get in to your own district, your own kind of league, things change a little bit from what we've been playing.
Yeah. Again, we've talked all year about being prepared for district. Like, everything up until district, I viewed as practice. I told them to view it as practice. I thought we were well prepared going in, just as far as knowing what they wanted to do, just from film study and everything else. And And we went out there, and I thought we executed fairly well other than turnovers that game. Turnovers is what lost us that game.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't know what to expect from Lexington either. And they had a couple of girls that were back that played really well last year. But for the most part, that game was back and forth. It was a really good basketball game to watch because it was just like, okay, who wants to win this game? I remember their radio guy looked over at me and Bill and said, who wants to win this game? I said, I don't know. We can, you know, both teams had a lot of turnovers in that game, but it was a hard fought game as we went through. But going through the first half, it was just sort of back and forth the whole first half.
Yeah, I thought just about the whole game was back and forth. We dug ourselves a 10-11 point hole early, I think, that we climbed out of. Defensively, I thought we were fine. We shot well in the first half. I mean, there wasn't a lot bad to say. That's what I told him at halftime. Rebounding wise, that's one of the better rebounding games we've had. I think we had been averaging like 52% of defensive rebounds, which is ridiculous. And then we got up to, I think it was 79-80% that game. And just every statistical category, you would have thought we won other than if you took off the turnovers. We had 23 turnovers.
Yeah. Well, what was kind of the mindset of actually being back home? Do you think it had something to do with it?
I think they were excited to be back home. I was excited to be back home. I think that's why we executed well, and I think we shot well. I think we shot 54% from the field, or effective field goal percentage was 54%. You don't normally lose too many games when you shoot that high. So it was nice to be back home, and would have been nice to walk out of there with a win.
Yeah. Huge crowd, too, for Tuesday night. And I think we had a lot of people hungry for some basketball. Yep. We've been on the road the whole month of January, mm-hmm. and then we finally get to go come back home to some friends. But, you know, I thought in that game, I didn't know what to expect from Lexington. I know last year we played two really good games with them, and then I think in district, we ended up beating them in a close game. They kind of went on a roll last year toward the end. But I thought it was a really good contest. And then we get in the second half, and both teams, that's when we were talking about, you know, okay, who wants to take control of this game? But we got down and finally turned it into a free throw shooting contest, really. And we had shot the free throws pretty well. You know, kind of take us through that last scenario and then going into – overtime, because I've asked this question, so you know, I don't know. Everybody has a different philosophy, so you know, we're up by three. Bailey gets fouled. She's fixing to go to a 1-1. We call a timeout. It's about 6 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. So the philosophy there is, you know, do you let her go ahead and shoot, or you're trying to set up your defense? What are you trying to do at that moment?
We had to set up defense there. I mean, in all honesty, we knew she was going to be nervous. That's a big time moment for a player that's not in a big time moment a lot, and she was going to be nervous shooting it. Whether we called one timeout or let her play it out, I don't feel like that played any into it. We wanted to set up defense. We wanted to tell our girls, pick them up at half court, push the ball handler off the line, don't let her straight line drive, push her off, and then make her come back in. And before the Bailey free throw is, like, we went up, she had hit, if I ain't mistaken, she had hit 4 for 4 before
that.
Yeah,
she was, yeah.
And then we ended up, they went down, like, we went up 2 after Neely's 3, I believe. And then Bailey got fouled. We go up 4 with 26 seconds to go, and they come down and hit a tough shot over 3 of us in the lane that banked in, and that's the shot that was more devastating than the end. So they cut it to 2. We drop an inbounds play. We decide we want Bailey shooting it. She had missed a free throw all day. That's who we wanted shooting it. We get it in. They foul her, and we go to the free throw line. We missed the front end of 1-1. We do on film at first without watching the film. I thought we just got blown by on a straight line drive, but I thought Neely did. After watching film, Neely went back and did her job and pushed her off the line a little bit. We just didn't we didn't help once we saw that she was getting in the lane. We didn't slide over and help, and then she just, I mean, good player, made a good shot, and that took the air out of us heading into overtime.
Yeah, and then they grabbed the momentum at overtime.
Yeah. And I thought we did. Like, it felt like they had the first play of overtime, we had a chance to get that momentum back. We had the ball. Ashton Davis drove in, kicked it to Bailey. Bailey hit a three, waved off because Ashton walked before she passed it. That was your momentum right there. That was your chance to get it back. And I think they go down, they score and get fouled. They go up 3 or 5. We come back down. We hit some big shots to stay in it, and then we'd press them each time. I think Ashton was half a step away from a steal twice, and then we were down two, and she deflected the ball, and the ball hit off, back on film, the ball hit off, I think it was 00, the little girl that had the glasses on.
Yeah.
It hit off of her. You could see the ball change directions, and I mean, I get it. You're not going to get every call right, but they're standing. You got to get that one right. So we should have been down two with the ball I think that was a minute to go in overtime. And instead, they go down. There was another time we go to the free throw line, or they go to the free throw line. They missed the front end of a 1-1 when they were up two. Ashton goes and gets the rebound, gets shoved in the back while she's in the air. They call it a jump ball. It should have been Ashton shooting in the double bonus to tie the game. Whether we make them or not, that's another story. But all that is irrelevant if we step up and hit a free throw.
Well, there was a lot. I mean, when it comes down to it.
It's not one play that makes or breaks a game.
Yeah,
it's
no. There's a lot of things that go in a game. It's just that one play everybody remembers.
That's the one that people remember.
But officiating in that game was kind of crazy in a way. They had one. I think, did somebody get hurt, and then they put somebody on the line that come off the bench actually, and I was telling Bill, I said she wasn't even in the game. They're putting her on the line. They don't even know who's supposed to be on the line or not. So we had that, and I think the other thing that ended up. I think they ended up scoring off of this. They fell out of bounds. It was a held ball. They fell out of bounds, which they were going to get the possession. But then they give Lexington a timeout. So they get the timeout, and they get to keep that extra possession. And get to throw it in. So, you know, that right there, I mean, at that point, every possession, especially offensively, I mean, it's golden right there. Yeah. I mean, you can't have that.
Yeah, and I mean, officials are going to make mistakes. They're human just like we are. But, man, you'd like to see them get it right in big-time moments. And I felt like they missed three down the stretch in the final 2 minutes of overtime that you got to get at least one of those right.
Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes when you got one official calling one thing. You got somebody way away from the ball that is calling something else. Of course, I guess if the shoe was on the other foot, we would want the timeout too. But and their coach, she may have been calling timeout. I don't know. But I thought the whistle blew and they had already made the call on the hell ball. Mm-hmm. But the Lady Tigers end up losing in a thriller in overtime to Lexington. And we're back on the road again last night. We headed to Chester County to take on another really good Chester County team. Let's take a time out. We'll talk more about that when we return. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM.
I had thoughts of superstardom, singing in the mirror. I was flossing. Swear that I saw this. Remember when I couldn't stand it? Now I got the posture. Finally through a paradise. Call me Frankie's Goblin. All just to see your hands jumping at the concert. Yeah. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. No, I wouldn't change it ever. It's too long to live it for nothing, so this is my mood forever. Ain't like grand, only ones I can't.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. Sunshine and a Saturday, there's nothing like it. And hopefully the weather people are right and temperatures will heat up and get up where you can get out and do some things and enjoy your day. We're talking Lady Tiger basketball with Coach Brandon Kurt. Coach, last night, go over to Chester County and another game, another tough game in this district. You think one team is kind of pulling away from the pack a little bit, and then you look at scores, and this team wore that team out, and so I didn't know what to expect. I knew that Chester County would be pretty good. I can't remember who they had coming back, but once we got there and kind of saw the girls play, I said, I remember her. Williamson was the big deal for them, and also the girl in the middle, and I can't think of her name, but she had a big game against us last year that I remember, and it's a tough place to play, number one, and number two, they got a girl that was probably better than anybody on the court, both sides,
yeah,
athletically, and she could do a lot of things, and she was really aggressive. This was another game where they're big. They were big inside. They had some girls coming off the bench that were big inside. So, but in saying all that, I thought our girls, and especially the first half, played an outstanding game. The game plan worked to perfection.
I thought we executed that game plan to perfection. I mean, there's, like you said, they're big on the inside. We knew going in they're a two man crew. They're the Williamson girl, number 21, and the Lockridge girl, 44, and that's who they are. They play through them, and they don't. That's it. They're if someone's shooting the ball, it's them two 90% of the time. They beat McNary 50-36. Them two combined for 43 out of the 50. Last night they combined for 44 out of the 49 against us.
Yeah,
and we knew going in that was coming. And what we did is we played a sunk in zone, and we sandwiched number 44. We played behind her and in front of her. We were not letting them post feed. And then anytime 21 touched it, we were out on her. And we basically didn't we told them sag off everyone else. And in saying that, really, honestly, adjustment there, we should have sagged even more off the other ones, and that's what we'll do next time, presumably. But you talk about the girls executing a game plan. Even in the second half, as the score stretched out, I thought they executed well. First half, we made shot. I think we hit 7 threes in the first half. Again, no inside. We knew going in, even if we threw it inside, we were not getting anything inside because of their height. There's just it was the only thing that could happen by post feeding Claire or Katie was going to be a kick out to a three. Thought we limiting turnovers was a big thing. We lost the Lexington game because of turnovers. We had Lexington. We had one player with 10 turnovers, and then. Last night we didn't have 10 turn. We had exactly 10 turnovers as a team, and that's acceptable at the high school level the way we play. And then a good player started making tough shots in the second half. That's what happened there. But first half wise, I thought I told them they executed. I told them it was A-minus basketball. All they did. There was a couple times we didn't rebound, and then I think they had a 3-point play off of offensive rebound. But other than that, I thought we played the best half of basketball we played all year, bar none.
Well, I know inside last night, every shot was contested. Even on our end when we were on offense, I thought Claire really played well.
She did.
And the reason I say that, and Katie played well too and had a lot of help inside. Like I said, they executed your defensive plan in that first half. To stop her, unfortunately, Williamson is – I don't know that she's known for shooting three. She's more of a driver sometimes, but
– And that's
yeah, – she got hot outside and kind of hurt us out there. But when you're at a disadvantage like you said, you know, you just got to go in there and just battle, and we did. Unfortunately, Williamson shot the ball really well. I think she ended up with 28 last night, and then the other girl had 17 or 18, mm-hmm. something like that last night.
Yeah, Williamson, she's a heck of a player. I've watched film where she knocked down threes. I've watched film where she got to the goal at will, and she's a, bar none, in my opinion, the best player in the district. I think she's as good as any player around here since Skylar.
I'll tell you what I liked last night watching, and I thought our game plan offensively, we were just going to – it seemed like we just wanted to work it around the perimeter. You were playing inside out, just trying to get three-point shots. We got hot. Haley Harden had her best game last night, yes, from the three-point line, and then Bailey was a good complimentary player with her too, because – she started shooting her threes and making her threes. Neely had a couple, and shot the ball really well and did some things. I thought, well, you know, they're playing well. And two, you made them play at our pace.
Yes.
We slowed the game down.
Yes. Yeah, that was what we wanted. We knew we were not going to be able to score on the inside on them a lot. We wanted to play in, like you said, we wanted to play inside out, but we were looking to – if Clara touches it and they double her, she's got to be looking to kick immediately. I thought our guards did an excellent job of looking and seeing the floor and throwing skip passes to open up shots, especially in the first half. I thought, and like you said, I thought Clara and Katie played excellent. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but when we run Haley off screens and Bailey off screens, it's them setting the screens, and that's the little stuff that goes unnoticed. If they don't set a good screen, nothing shows up in Haley's stat sheet. And then that's right. I mean, I always tell them, I'm like, shooting the ball is the easy part of it. If it's everything else you do, like every time Katie sets a screen and Haley scores, Katie should get one or two of those 3 points, because shooting the ball is the easiest part of basketball.
That's a good teammate, though. That's just being a good teammate.
That's being a good teammate. And again, I thought we executed well. I thought we slowed the game down and limited turnovers. The turnovers we did have, they scored. They converted off turnovers. We knew that was coming. They get it to Williamson, and she goes.
Yeah. What did you do at halftime? Anything that you wanted to adjust at halftime? Because you knew Coach Pipkin, she's an old pro. So yep.
We knew they started putting her right at the end of half. They started taking Williamson instead of playing her up top at the slot. They started playing her in the corners and because they knew we were going to come out and guard her heavy, which would open up the inside. So what we knew we had, and we knew when she caught it in the corner, she was about to shoot the ball immediately or post feed immediately. So we told the backside of our zone to make sure, because long shots from the corner means long rebounds on the other side. It's like you have got to put a body on the outside wing, the weak side wing. That's where you're going to win and lose that game. Is we were concerned with them getting offensive rebounds from the backside. But as far as what they did, what they did, they didn't change too much. They just started putting her in the corner, and then she made contested shots. Most of what she made was with us closing out on her. I thought we had a couple mental breakdowns where we'd close out too hard on a girl that didn't have number 21 on her jersey, whereas we would let anyone else shoot is what we were telling them to do. Like don't even go out. Like if say 32's in the corner, we would tell Riley, don't even go out. Just stay sunk in on the post. If she wants to shoot the ball, let her shoot it. And there were, for the most part, I thought we did well. The times we had mental breakdowns and came out a little bit too far, immediately post feed. And that's what they do. They look to play through 21. They look to play through 44. And unfortunately, we went cold in the second half as Williamson started heating up at the same time. So
yeah, and I thought what they did was pretty smart on their part too. They came out with a goal. They were going to speed that tempo up.
Yes.
and they were going to make us play fast. Right. And when you got an inexperienced team, although we're almost through a season, the one thing that we've had trouble with, if you watch film on us, is the pace of the game. And when we get into a press, we kind of panic a little bit. That's kind of a bad word, but I don't know how to describe it sometimes. And when you start rushing, you feel like you got to hurry, hurry, hurry when you really don't. And that comes with experience, yeah, too. But, I mean, she's got the players. They made the adjustment, too, and that's what they want to do is make us play fast in the second half, and that's what they did. And I think that was the difference in the game. And then, like you said, we kind of just went cold.
And I think it wasn't so much them making us play fast. I'll disagree with you there. I think I was shocked that they stayed in that 1-2-2 zone against us. I still don't understand that. I would have fully expected them to go out and press us and all that stuff. We had to start picking up the pace because Williamson got hot and we got cold. And I mean, once you're down 12 with, you know, towards the end of the third, we have no choice but to start pressing. And then pressing Williamson, that's easier said than done. And that's what sped it up. They'd break the press, and we'd go from there. It just naturally picks up. They go down, break a press, you lay up, and we end up having to go down and play fast just because the score dictated, I believe.
Well, I'm like you though. During the halftime, I told Bill, I said, I think they'll go the one adjustment they'll make, and I said, I can't believe they've done this. Especially when we were hot from 3-point line and them just staying back. I said, I would assume they'd probably come out and go man to man on us and try that. And like I said, they didn't do it. But when Williamson, they just told her, I'm sure, hey, you go out and take over this game and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they go put the ball in your best player's hands and let her make plays. And that's what she did. Again, she's, in my opinion, she's as good as any girl around here since Skylar, bar none. And you didn't get a chance to see it a lot last night because of how they played, but you talk about being a defensive nuisance. Just she's as good as any defender I've seen too, which is what really shocked me, that as well as we shot it in the first half, that they didn't go into half court man or full court man and just have her go pressure Haley. And that's what, you know, glad they didn't do it. But that's what we talked that to the possibility of them coming out and doing that and how we would adjust to that. But bottom line is, good player made good plays, and we started getting cold from the 3-point line. But other than that, game plan wise, I thought we executed exactly how we wanted us to. It just, shots didn't fall. It's easier, looks better when you're making a few shots. Is what it's easier to play when you're making a few shots and you're not down 12, you're down 4. And unfortunately, we just, you know, I think 9 points in the second half, that doesn't win ball games. And that is sometimes, that's what I told the girls, like, sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes I can get on you for turnovers or not rebounding or not handling the press. Sometimes it's as simple as you just didn't put the ball in the hole. I felt like that's all that was last night in the second half.
Well, another tough challenge coming up Tuesday night. So we go to the Roundhouse where the lights are yellow, and it's kind of an odd place to for a basketball player. Thought I had to sneeze there for a minute. Anyway, boy, it's right there too. But we go over there, and you know, it's kind of hard to shoot over there sometimes. I don't know if it's the lighting. I don't know if it's the setup with the fans behind the baskets and stuff like that. But another good basketball team and another tough challenge as we work our way through. It'll be the halfway point of this district.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's playing at McNary is tough. It's a challenge. And we've expected. Again, like you said earlier, we expected them to kind of be the best team in the district. Then you go back and look at some scores, and you don't know. I know they beat Lexington by 30 last night. They've taken care of business against some teams, and then I felt like they've laid some eggs against some teams. And they're solid all the way around. I think they're the most well-rounded team as far as especially the first five they put on the floor, I don't think there's a – they have no one that they have to hide is what I believe. And, again, I think if we'll come out and execute the game plan for this, it's just about execution. And, I thought we executed well last night, and I think we'll carry that over into McNary. I tell the girls, I was like, if I didn't think you can compete in district, I'd tell you. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'd say, hey, we're playing for second, we're playing for third. Just go out there and compete. But you've got to. I truly believe everyone's pretty much right there on any given night. Especially, I mean, high school girls basketball. You see the scores. You get McNary beats Dyer County by 35. McNary loses to Adamsville. So you never know. You can't look at scores and dictate off of it. It's just you never know who's going to show up. That's what it boils down to a lot of time is what team's going to show up for us, for them, and everywhere in between.
Just, yep. Well, we'll be at McNary on Tuesday night, tip-off time 6 p.m. We'll be at Lexington on Friday. And then finally back home for the last two in a week. But we've lost some miles. I know that. But Tuesday night right here on 93.5 FM. Coach, I appreciate you coming in. And I know need to get home. You said you had yard work to do, honey-do list.
Don't remind me. Got a honey-do list.
We need to get you your – your wife just sent me a text and said, get him home now.
I'm sure she
make
did.
Sure there's gas
I
in the tank.
I can't make it home. I might have to push the car back home. I ain't got gas.
Make sure you fill it up. So, anyway, I appreciate you coming in. And
yes, sir.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a time out. We'll talk with Coach Ryan Geyer. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell, and with you this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning, we appreciate you tuning in, talking Tiger basketball. We'll talk with Coach Ryan Geyer here in just a few seconds. Also, coming up a little bit later on, a couple of things I need to tell you about, some local guys and some opportunities that have come their way that's been a part of Tiger Nation. I'll tell you the good news for these two guys. Also coming up a little bit later on, Tennessee basketball, Tennessee and Texas this afternoon at 5 p.m. That should be a good one. I assume it will. It was kind of a junky game last year. Texas ended up winning late. Maybe it'll be a better game this year. But we'll bring in Coach Ryan Geyer. Coach, you've had a big week, an exciting week of basketball. Two of the most exciting games I've seen in a while. And there again, we were talking just from a fan standpoint. What two good, really, games just watch and be there in the excitement level of these two games. Let's go back to Lexington and what a big win, number one, over them. Get that first district win at home. But, man, what a great game between two teams that were as comparable as styles and things like that as you could be. And then we were looking at the records in the pregame before that game started. And, you know, you go back and look at everybody's record, ours, Lexington, McNary, and Chester. Everybody's about the same. Everybody was maybe a game under 500, play some really tough teams. So this is going to be a fun – couple of weeks.
It is, you know, I remember when Mr. Shirley asked us for our season preview, just asking us questions and asking us about the district, and I told him in October that I believe that all four of us are any given night, anybody can beat anybody. I think we're all there. I think some teams may be more different styles of play, but as far as overall competitiveness, I think we're all right there, and it's starting to play out that way. Like you said, our records are all very similar. All four teams went out and scheduled pretty tough, knowing that think all four coaches think they have a shot. So they prepared for that and prepared their teams for that. And, you know, it's starting to play out that way. And, you know, going into Tuesday night, like you said, haven't been at home in a while. So we were amped up for that first district game. Obviously, Lexington's a old rival for sure. And them getting back in the district with us has amplified that. So we knew it was going to be a tough game. And it went down to the wire.
Yeah, it was a game. It was back and forth all night long. And we actually, you know, we took a pretty good lead on them at one time. They fought back. Same thing. They get a lead on us. We'd fight back. And it was just a battle of just two, you could tell, two teams that really wanted to get after it. But kind of like what I asked Coach Kurt, you played all these games. Now we're getting in the district. You know, anything that message you gave your kids, especially the ones that maybe hadn't been in district play yet, your younger kids, you know, hey, this is going to be different. You know, these are kids that are equally as talented, and it's tough night in, night out, depending on if you're at home or if you're on the road.
Right. Well, you know, you prepare your kids for that, trying to schedule tough games and creating that environment. And also in practice. And, you know, with our district being the way it is now, all these kids play each other growing up. So they all know each other. Obviously, fan travel is going to be huge as far as the other three schools or us going to the other three schools. So the crowd's always going to be into it. You know, back in our old district, there may have been some games where you might didn't have as many because of the travel being so far. But now that it's closer, every game is packed out. Every game's intensified. Every game is a rivalry of some sort. So, you know, we try to prepare our kids for that. And they did a really good job Tuesday night of handling that. And like you said, we came out early in the first half and played really good basketball all around, built a lead. And, you know, first half, there was nothing to complain about. We played very well going into halftime. And then coming out of half, I don't think it was anything we did bad. I think it was just they hit some tough shots. They went on a stretch there for about 3 or 4 minutes. Number 25 hit two threes from probably 26 feet. Number five, who we wanted, we were begging him to shoot it, and he finally did, and he banks one in from three. So they kind of went on, I said, a three-point barrage there in the third to cut the lead, and I think we were up one going into the fourth, but we knew it was going to come down to the wire, and we tried to prepare our kids for that, and it was, and, you know, it was back and forth, and they ended up making two tough shots there late in the fourth to take the lead. We come down and get a bucket, cuts it to a three-point game. We jump in the pressure. They turn it over. And the final sequence felt like an eternity, I guess. But
did you draw that up for
– Well
– Go ahead. Do you want to take the credit? Did you draw it up for Caleb to shoot that three?
We get the ball back. I was trying to call timeout earlier. I don't think that the refs could see me. I think I was blocked, and that's part of me being short. I guess I should have gotten a better position. But so after Jackson shoots one, we get the offense rebound. I call timeout. We draw up a play that we've talked about too in practice, and I'm not saying I drew it up for Caleb, but Coach can testify. I did mention him being the last option in the play. And so when we draw up the first play, Coach Fitch calls timeout, and then he inserts number five back in the game, who's about 6'5". He's long, probably the biggest – not the biggest physically, but the tallest and longest kid in the district. And he inserts him and puts him on the ball, so I knew that would be difficult to make a pass. But anyway, we run the play. They did a good job of defending it. Caleb did what he was supposed to do in the action. We get it to him, and he makes a shot that we'll all remember for a long time to send it into overtime.
How long did that ball hang on the front of that iron in your mind?
I don't know if we've got any basketball fans listening, but a couple years ago in the NBA playoffs. Kawhi Leonard was playing for the Raptors, and he made a shot game seven against the Sixers. And it was very identical to that, and it was Kawhi Leonard, and Caleb wears Kawhi shoes, so maybe he got some of that Kawhi magic, and the ball just it hung on the rim. I'm talking about it felt like 15 seconds, but anyway, it goes in, and, you know, we go into overtime, and before overtime, I tell him, I say, hey, let's not let this Caleb shot be remembered in a game we almost won. Let's go out there and win it. And so we can enjoy this game and not be, well, you remember the shot Caleb made when we got beat in overtime. And overtime was back and forth. We go up two with about a minute 20 left. They take a shot, number 12 for them, who's a senior, just a glue guy, solid player, gets offense rebound, puts it back, ties it up at 66. We come down. Jackson Burdine makes a heck of a play, gets to the rim and one. We go up three. They go down, miss. We get the rebound. We go the free throw line. We make one of two, I believe. We go up four at that point with about 30 seconds left. And I knew if we could just get one more stop. And Garrett Smith, who's our best defensive player, he's on number 24, who's their go-to guy, senior, and Garrett locked him up, and the kid kind of stumbled, turned the ball over, and Wheeler picks it up, makes both, and we end up winning by six in overtime. But, you know, you got to see it was two pretty evenly matched teams, similar styles of play. We came out victorious, though, on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was a fun game to watch and for us to come back, because they did that to us in the girls' game, last second shot. Right. We paid them back in the guys' game and ended up winning that. And you're right, in the second half, their two guards started heating up a little bit, and they were very good. They weren't big, but
– they can play.
The left-hander, he can shoot it.
And, right, he's a good player. He can get to the rim, too. With his left hand, 24. He had 20 last night against McNary. He can play. I thought we did a really good job of defending him. They got number 5 inside, who's arguably the best athlete in the district. Number 12 is a glue guy. He's a senior. And then they've got some guards who'll play kind of in that fifth spot, depending on who situations and different things. But they've got 7-8 guys that can play. And, you know, he's got two guards that can handle it and shoot it. He's got a big guy in the middle. He's got a glue guy senior that could kind of do a little bit of everything. So they're a solid basketball team.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's – I was glad we were able to compete and come out with a win on Tuesday.
Yeah, they just couldn't get out of their way, and they didn't shoot the ball particularly well in the first half either. And
I thought we did a really good job of defending them. I think they missed some shots, but I think we forced them into taking some shots they weren't comfortable – in taking, and I thought we did a really good job of containing number 5. I've seen some games on film where he's not the most necessarily skilled player, but he's so athletic. If he catches it deep enough, he just rises up and can score it. And he only had 7, and one of those was the banked in 3. And so he only had 2 paint shots that he scored. And I thought we just executed very well defensively in the first half. In the third quarter, I thought we didn't do anything bad defensively, but they made tough shots, and they can do that. Yeah. And I knew that going in. And if you looked at our scouting report on 25 and 24, I said 25 is a volume shooter. I said he's going to get his shots. He's going to make some, but he's going to hit some tough ones, and he'll take them. And he does. He's a good player, and so is 24. But, you know, it was a heck of a game.
It's a heck of a way to start the district. Yeah, and get a win to start the district against a really good team. We go on the road to Chester County. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll talk about last night's game, another exciting game that came down to the wire again. So, two really good basketball games this week. We'll talk about the Tigers and the Eagles when we return. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM.
Boys, ever met a real country girl? I'm talking true blue, out in the woods, down home, country.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell in with you this morning. Beautiful Saturday morning, talking with Coach Geyer, talking a little Tiger basketball. We go to Chester County last night. Another team that both teams pretty evenly matched in this game. This was an unusual game. It was an exciting game to watch with two teams that went at it pretty physically all night long. It wasn't always the most, it wasn't the prettiest game I've ever watched. There was moments by both teams where you go, what are we doing here? You know, several turnovers in this game. But both teams didn't absolutely just burn it up. But then when we were talking about point totals that some of them had, you go, well, you know, I know Wheeler had a great night last night. We missed some opportunities inside last night as well. But, man, what a great game. And it came down to the wire and kind of a controversial call at the end. But you guys backed up Tuesday night, Ryan, with another good performance against another good team on the road.
We did. You know, Chester beat McNary on Tuesday night, so they scored 90 points. So we knew that they can play. I've watched a lot of film on them. And they're a tough matchup. They're very physical and very athletic. And they only play one kid that's under 6'2". I mean, every kid other than that that plays a majority of minutes is between 6'2 and 6'4". So they're big. They're athletic. They've got some guys that can shoot it. They got a point guard that's quick as a cat, can handle it. And they're a solid basketball team. And they started off the year struggling, but they've won – I think 13 of their last 15. So they've really, since the Christmas time, right before Christmas, they've played really good basketball. They won their Christmas tournament up in Huntington. They're a solid team, and we knew that going in. And I thought we had them scouted pretty well in the first half. You know, it was pretty evenly matched. We were down three going into half. We made some shots. They made some shots. It was a physical game in the paint, and that's where the game really was won. We didn't make some shots in the paint that we made against Lexington, and part of that was us, and part of that was them, their length and just physicality overall. And you got to give credit to them on how they play. And we played pretty well there in the first half to stay in it. We missed some chippies there in the second, late in the first quarter, early in the second, that, you know, you got to make on the road against a good team. And our bench came in and gave us some really good minutes. Carter Smith and Nathan Nesbitt came in there in the late first and into the second quarter and gave us some really good minutes. Nathan hit a three, took one that I thought was a charge that got called a block. Carter came in and battled inside physically and gave some guys a breather. And that's what you got to have in district play. And we go into half down three, and we come out in the third quarter, and we couldn't get some shots to fall on drives to the rim. And maybe, you know, how the game's called sometimes can affect that, whatever. And they're just physical, and their length affects shots. And we've played some really good teams, and we've played some teams that are athletic and quick, but I don't think we've played a team like Chester where basically every kid on the floor can basically be considered a five on defense besides their point guard. So when you do, even if you do turn the corner, they're long and physical that it's hard to finish around the rim against them. But we did miss some chippies there, and that kind of had an effect on us there in the second half.
I think one of the adjustments that they made, that it was kind of a surprising adjustment to me, because that takes somebody out of the middle. You talk about contested shots, is they took 23, Barham, put him out basically just to face Wheeler in the second half. Now, Wheeler did a good job of kind of lulling him into getting away from him from time to time and knocked down, but he really had to push his three-point shots out some to do that. I don't know why they did that. Their point guard was really quick. He wasn't as tall as Wheeler, but he was a good player, but they decided to do that and keep him out. We had a lot of one-on-ones inside, and like you said, for our guards, it was tough to go inside. I mean, right. With their length, that didn't work out so well sometimes, but also you're in there maybe not so much to make a shot, but to draw a foul.
Right.
And we wasn't getting those foul calls. I mean, the girls' game had 7 total fouls in a game. Y'all's game was the same way.
Right.
Nobody was in the 1-1 ever.
No. And, you know, sometimes when we tell our guards this, if you can just get a shot, not a wild shot, but if you can just get it up on the rim, it at least gives you a chance to get an offensive rebound because guys are going to be flying to try to block shots. And we did that a few times, but we didn't finish a second shot out of it. And, you know, we missed some there in the third, and they extended that lead a little bit. They made a couple big shots, and I think they were up 10 going into the fourth, but the fourth quarter, we rallied, made some shots, got in the pressure that really gave them fits. And I didn't want to show it as early in the game because I knew that if we could just get it to that moment where it kind of stunned them, and it did. And we got some big turnovers, made some big shots. And I said it was a battle, and it came down. Had a chance. We're down 1 with the ball with 11 seconds left in the game. And we draw up a sideline play, and we executed it pretty well and got the look we wanted to. And, you know, it didn't fall in our favor, and that's all I'll say about that. But they made a big stop, and they ended up getting out of there with a win. But, you know, it shows where we are as a team that we can compete with anybody in the district. And that's what we told them, especially our first district road game, making it a one-possession game. And like I tell our guys, the season's not over with a win. It's not over with a loss. It just puts us in position where we want to be. And we want to be wearing white uniforms going into the district tournament. That's our goal. So, you know, we're 1-1 now, and we won a close one, lost a close one. All these games are going to be close. And, you know, you just hope you win your fair share of them. And proud of our effort. And
Just we played hard last
effort.
Night.
Our execution defensively was about a B+ overall. We had some miscues, but we just didn't finish some shots in the paint. And you got to give credit to them. I mean, it's they're athletic, they're big, they're strong. And we missed some of those shots that I know we can make. And we missed some jump shots that we had wide open looks too there in the second half. I can think of at least 4, I'm talking wide open, that we missed. And, you know, you make 1 or 2, it's a different game, but that's basketball. And, you know, you live on for the next day. But, you know, I'm proud of our seniors stepping up. Wheeler's had 13 threes in both combined in the past 2 games. He's scored over 20. I think he scored 25 and 21. Caleb's had 2 double-doubles in both games. You know, so both of those seniors stepping up for us, and then everybody playing their role. And, you know, I'm excited to see how these next 4 games play out going into the tournament.
Caleb's got to be tired. He's been beat up a little bit. He's been involved in 2 physical games inside, but I can't think of anybody better I'd want down there. He's going to fight till the end, and I'll put my money on him every time. And that was like last night. He had to battle a couple of big guys inside. 23 was big. I think he doesn't play to his potential. I'll just say that most nights, and then some nights, you know, like you said, he might have 30 or 40, but the other guy that was inside that probably people don't talk much about, he was good.
He's a really good player. Yeah. And like you said, Caleb battles, and our whole team does. I wouldn't trade any of our kids for anything, because I promise you we're going to battle. I promise you that. And we're going to play as hard as we can play. And we scratch, claw, fight to the end no matter what. And that's kind of our theme this year. We might not necessarily be the most athletic team. We might not be the best shooting team. We might not be the best this or that. But as a team, we do everything we can do, and I wholeheartedly believe that. And, guys are bought into what we're trying to do, and I'm excited to see where we finish.
Yeah, it just seems like, we're good at kind of uglying games up. And like you said, we don't have three guys that are going to sit out there and get 20 to 30 points every night and somebody 6'6" in the middle. And we're having to go against that a lot, it seems like. So, it's fun to watch. And I'm excited about going to McNary as well for both teams. And what do you know about McNary as we go over there? I would think that they're probably a lot like we are, and it's going to be another one of those games.
They are. I've watched a lot of film on them throughout the year. You try to just kind of keep up with those dish opponents and all. Do my diligence on that this weekend with them, but they're a solid basketball team. I think we match up the best with them just as physically compared to the other two, but they can really score the basketball. They got a guard, Nate Moore, can play. They play a five-out style offense, and all of them can shoot it, put it on the floor. They play good basketball. Chester – it was a 6-point game in the fourth. Chester goes on like a 14-0 run to kind of extend the game, end up winning by double digits. Last night, they go to Lexington. I think they were up 6 going into half, and then Lexington comes back and wins it by 4. So, they're right there. All of us are right there, like I said earlier. And, it'll be a good game. It'll be a good test for us. I think physically that's our best matchup overall, and I think they'd probably say the same about us, Coach Riley would, but it'll be a good game. It'll come down to who makes shots and who doesn't. I think that's pretty much how every game will boil down to throughout the rest of the year. So it'll be exciting. Got those two road ones next week. We finish up with two at home, so trying to jockey for position for that tournament.
Yep, that's exactly right. Plan for seeding. All right, tip-off time, 6 p.m. Tuesday night, right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be at McNary Central. And then on Friday night, we'll be in Lexington, Tennessee. So you can catch all the action right here. As always, let's take a timeout. And got a couple of got some news I want to tell you about a couple of players, former players here in Hardin County. We'll tell you some good things that are going on with some ex-Tigers. That's coming your way next right here on 93.5 FM. This is Sports Talk. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I've been talking Lady Tiger and Tiger basketball with Coach Kirk and Coach Geyer. Tuesday night, we'll be in McNary County, McNary Central, 6 p.m. tip right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app, and streaming live on YouTube channel Slice 93. Some good news for a couple of players, ex-players at Hardin County High School. Of course, we've talked about Latrell all year long, but he's got another opportunity. He'll be playing tonight in an NFL Collegiate Bowl. That will be at 5 p.m. Don't know exactly. I think somebody told me it was his number 99 or something like it. I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, Latrell will be playing in that. And that's kind of an audition, I'm sure, for him trying to see if he can hopefully get a contract or a free agency or something like that in NFL. So we wish him the best. But he'll be playing tonight at 5 p.m., and that's in the NFL Collegiate Bowl. I'm assuming that's going to be on ESPN somewhere. I'm not sure.
I'm sure one of the networks will have it. Yeah.
Somebody will have that game. And then Will Gilchrist, of course, Will played back with my oldest son several years ago, played here, played basketball, football, also coached here as well, and has – went to Memphis to play, and then he's kind of been hanging out in Memphis the last couple of years over there. But he got a great opportunity. He got a phone call, and he's headed to Clemson as a special teams analyst. He is there, and him and his family, we wish them the best as he tries to make his march upward. And you know, next thing you want to be is maybe a position coach, and then, you know, maybe a coordinator or something at some point. But congratulations to Will, and I know he'll be happy there. I can't say that I can pull for Clemson. I pull for Will, but not them. Not a big Dabo fan. But anyway, that's a great opportunity for him and his family. So that's some big news for them. What about NFL last week, real quick, Ryan? That suit you?
I think I went 4-0 on my picks. So got a rematch of the AFC Championship, Chiefs and Bengals, and then 49ers and Eagles, and I think I'm going to ride with the Chiefs this week in a revenge game from last year. I think the Mahomes ankle, I think he comes out and plays well. I think they get a win, and I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think the Brock Purdy magic comes to an end this week.
Got to come to an end sometime, doesn't
and,
it?
And I think we're going to have a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. And it'll be a good one. But it'll be two good games tomorrow for sure.
You think Kansas City has some motivation since when the Bengals, during their press conference after their win over the Bills, they said they're heading to Burrowhead?
I do. And last year, the Chiefs
– Burrowhead.
The Chiefs blew that game last year in the AFC title game in Arrowhead. So I think they've got a lot to play for, trying to get to another Super Bowl and Mahomes get his second ring. So,
well, you don't need to give another team motivation this time of year, but going to Burrowhead, that's pretty funny, though, for them to come up with that. But, man, they absolutely just wore the Bills out. I was shocked. They came out in the first couple of drives. I mean, just bam, bam, bam in the end zone like it wasn't anything.
Yeah, it was really wasn't even a game ever. It was 14-0 there. Pretty quick, and the Bengals played well. So it'll be a really good matchup and two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
And then the Cowboys, they just pooped all over themselves. So, like that, usual.
They had their playoff victory in round one, and everybody knew what was probably going to happen next. And so, anyway, 49ers moved on and got the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. And how can you not like Jalen Hurts? I think everybody likes Jalen Hurts.
I can not like him.
Even though he played at Alabama, I think everybody at least respects him and his character and all those traits. So I'd like to see the Eagles move on to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, he went from hero to zero, back to hero. You know, he just kind of stayed over there, lost his job, had to come back in and win a game for him on an injury. And then made the decision, hey, you're going to go with your guy. I'm going to go somewhere else. Went to Oklahoma, played well there. And I hear a lot of people that are more NFL people. They say that he's a lot better NFL quarterback than they projected him to be. Yeah. He's had a really good season. So
he has.
Yeah, and they got a really good defense. Mm-hmm. They're really good defensively. Coming up this afternoon at 5 p.m., Texas and Tennessee right here on 93.5 FM, as we'll bring you the Vols. It's the Big 12 and the SEC matchup all day long. So if you want to stay in, I don't know why you would on a nice day. But if you want to stay in, you can watch that all day long. But that's coming up here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sports Talk. We'll talk more Tiger and Lady Tiger basketball. We'll be in McNary Central on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. tip. And you can hear all the action here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app. Watch live at Slice 93. For Lily at the station, she keeps this thing running. We appreciate all of our sponsors and, of course, our listeners as well. We'll see you next Saturday, 9 a.m. for Sports Talk. Go Vols, go Tigers.